Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Some people search for a star, they search for an end. They want a reason, a purpose, a place to stand. But there's a voice that's been calling since time began. A holy sound that fills up all the land. It is the eternal voice of Yeshua, the Messiah, the God of heaven, who became a man. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, don't you know? Oh yeah. He which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty One, the Eternal King of all creation. Jesus the Christ said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am He that leadeth and was dead, and now I'm alive again, forever and ever. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I hold the keys of hell and of death in my hands. Yeshua says, I see the eternal future, I see the eternal past. Every moment, every second, I know it all. But they crucified him and put him in a grave. They sealed up the stone, but he broke the chain of death, and he came out of the grave, out of hell itself, and showed himself to his New Testament church. And he calmed the raging sea of unbelief. Now he's got a victory for you and for me. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, don't you know? Oh yeah. He which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty One in all the universe. Jesus the Christ said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and now I'm a glorious ascension. There is no end to His holy intention of salvation. He holds all the power from the first day, every single day.
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with your host, Ricardo Bezalel, and the song which has just finished playing there is a song called I Am the Alpha and the Omega, sang for us by the sounds of Ruth and Boaz. And indeed, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, or to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And this verse has been used in various formats and abused in various ways, and quite a lot of people who grew up going to church, who go to church, they know about this verse, but what they don't know is actually the implications of it and what it actually means. For it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please Him. And he that cometh to Him must believe that He is. He is what? Without faith, that cometh. How do you even know you've got faith? How do you know where this God is? How do you know what even His name is, and things like that? For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that is a reward of that of them that diligently seek Him. Where do you seek him? How do you know how to seek him? How do you find this God? What is his name? What has he done for us? And why should I seek after him? And without faith, where do I get that faith from? You know, all these kind of questions, right? So this particular verse here is actually talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that if you are to worship the God of heaven, you must believe that he is the one who died for you on that cross and rose again. You must believe that it is him who came and took up the form of a human being. Though he was the God of heaven, yet he took up the form of a human being and came to this earth so that he could so identify with humanity that he can be tempted just as we are, yet be without sin. It is him who took up the human body so that he could suffer the human death, so that through that human death he could defeat him, the devil. He could defeat the devil who had power over death, who had power over humanity. And because he did this, then if you identify with what he has done and what he has accomplished in his mission and his assignment, then you can say you are starting to please God, because God is not pleased by your performance. He is pleased by your correct knowledge of him and what he is and who he is and what he has done and what the implications of what he has done and accomplished already. What are the implications of those things in your life? If you don't know these things, then how can you please him? Because if you go before him in ignorance, the scripture says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. In other words, ignorance is what destroys the people who claim to know God, who claim to go before God, who claim to be worshippers of God, yet they're ignorant of his identity, they're ignorant of his assignment, they're ignorant of anything and everything he's ever done. How then can you say you know him? How then can you say you love him? How then can you say you come before him? Because if you don't know who he is, that is the creator God of heaven, who became a man and took up human flesh and crucified himself on that cross. Forget about Pontius Pilate and the religious leaders of Israel at that time. They were not the ones that crucified him. They were dummies. They were actors in a pre-planned drama which Jesus himself had choreographed way before he came to this earth. He knew exactly who was going to do it and how they were going to do it, and everything was prearranged. Yeah, which is why the Roman Empire came and conquered Judea, the land of Judea and Canaan, you know, and ruled over it as a colony of Rome, because the people of Israel did not have the cross as a form of punishment. Rome was the one which had the cross. The Caesars of Rome were the ones, in their evil nature, they were the ones who divided the cross. And Jesus caused them to do it, and then he caused them to conquer Judea. He caused them to come over to Canaan, the land of the promised land where the children of Israel were. He caused the Roman Empire to come over to Judea and establish a colony there and rule over the children of Israel, so that they could bring the cross to Israel, because Israel itself did not have the cross. So Jesus prearranged all this, and when he came, took up the form of a servant, took up the form of a man, became so identified with us that so even though he was God, yet he was found in fashion as a man, and humbled himself even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, it was all pre-planned. And this God of heaven, not the the God of heaven is the one who came to the earth whilst he was still set on that throne in heaven. When the God of heaven left heaven, whilst he was still seated in his on his throne in heaven, he came to the earth in the form of his word and took up the body of a human being, which we named Jesus, which John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." That is who he became. He appeared in that format so that he could accomplish the pre-arranged plan of what it is that he wanted to accomplish on the earth. You see, in mining, you go out there and you dig for minerals, and then you process them and you purify them, and then at the end of it all, you've got your wealth. So the God of heaven did the same.
He came to this earth knowing who the minerals were, the wealth of this world were, which is the human spirits which were here on the earth, whom he knew before they came to the earth that they were destined for salvation. They were predestined unto salvation. They were to hear his gospel and be saved into eternal life. And those people are the ones whom he came for. Jesus came to this world for those who are written in the book of life. Jesus came to this world for those who will form part of his New Testament church. Jesus came to this world for those who will be part of the bride of Christ, part of the body of Christ. And he knew them beforehand when he says, before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me. And when God says, even before you were born, I knew your name and the people written in the book of life and things like that. And you can ask the question, huh? Did you say people born in the book of life? Well, my name is Cuthbert. My name is Jennifer. My name is Peter. How can this Jesus of yours have known my name even before I was born, even before my mother and my dad met? How could he have known my name? Listen. When you ask the police forensic people and they say, oh, well, there is a crime done here and we are looking for the person who have done it and we are confident that we're going to soon find them. And you say, how do you know how you're going to find them? Do you have their identity card? No. Do you have their photograph? No. Do you have their name? No. Do you know where they came from? No. So how can you be confident that you're going to catch them? Well, we've got their DNA. And DNA is that chemical, biological, genetic identity which every human being has got. And every human being has got their own unique biological, genetic DNA which they are not sharing with anybody. Even identical twins don't have the same DNA. So when the police are saying that we will find the criminal because we've got their identity and they're referring to the DNA sample which they found, can you not see that is another type of a name? So when God says, I've got their names written in the book of life, don't think because your name is Bernard or Johnson or whatever it may be, then it means that he knows you by that particular name which your dad gave you. No. God has got so many other forms of identity which he can use to identify human beings on the earth. So don't tangle yourself on the simple matters of that like that. So this God of heaven, Jesus Christ, came to this earth knowing, already knowing the spiritual DNA of those people who are going to be saved, who are going to believe in his word. You see, so he came to this world as a servant. He came to this world as a sacrifice. He came to this world as an offering of sin, as an offering for sin to redeem those who were captured by the devil. So we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we find that in Genesis chapter 3 the devil came to the woman and the woman was deceived of the devil and she ate the doctrine of the devil. She believed the lies of the devil and she fell into sin and she died spiritually. She fell into sin because she ate of the doctrine of the devil, which is the doctrine of death, which was otherwise trading as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is how sin entered into the world. And sin is simply the absence of the righteousness of God, because the evilness of the devil would have taken over. So Adam and his wife, before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree of death, they had a form of righteousness, but that righteousness was not enough for them to qualify to enter into heaven, because they had been human beings who were cocooned inside a human flesh, bones and blood, a temple or house. They had to be mined from them, from that body. They had to come out of that body in order for them to be processed and then enter into heaven. This is how the mining process actually happens in the real world. So what it is that God of heaven allowed the spirits of human beings to the process is such that spirits of human beings who are going to end up in heaven, they these spirits come from God, they enter into the earth through natural birth. But for them to then enter into heaven, they got to go through processes, just like the mining of gold. It has got to go through all the process, the procedures and processes which are included in the mining of gold, and until you've got a pure gold bar which can then be counted as true wealth to whoever owns it. So when heaven says that, when the Bible says that heaven is a place with the streets full of gold, it's not talking of natural physical gold. It's talking about the spirits of human beings who are we have been saved. We have been saved from the devil, and we have been born again and experienced the salvation, which is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and they've come back to life and they've become alive in God. And when they are processed and they enter into heaven, those are going to be like gold. Because remember, the scripture says that in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, which says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor of God. So you can see that the gold is being compared to the purification of your faith whilst you are still here on the earth. Even the book of Ecclesiastes, as mentioned before, it says, for gold is tried in the fire and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. So acceptable men, which means those people who are going to be in the book of life, that's how you are acceptable to God, because you are in the book of life and you are tried by adversity here on earth, meaning that you go through the trouble of the enemy, you go through the trouble of the devil fighting your faith and things like that. And if you then, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because through your faith you are then purified into the purity which is like gold. You are purified in adversity of the devil, which is when you are saved from that and purified from that and have conquered all that, then your faith, as far as God is concerned, is like gold unto him which is purified in the fire. So what has happened is that when Adam and his wife were given human bodies in Genesis chapter 2, and the devil came in Genesis chapter 3 and contaminated those human bodies and separated the human spirits from their relationship, the original relationship which they had with God, they were no longer innocent. They were no longer, they did not have that form of righteousness, though it didn't qualify them to enter heaven, but at least they did some form of righteousness in which God did not accuse them of anything. Now they've been contaminated, which means they are now buried in the earth. And that burial in the earth is what Jesus came like a miner to do, to seek out, to save and seek that which is lost and purify it like gold so that it qualifies to enter into heaven. So that separation of the human spirit from the presence of God is what we call death type 1. We see this that in Genesis chapter 3 on verse 8, it says that and Adam and his wife, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. You see, they hid themselves. So already that hiding of themselves from God is the start of the process where their relationship with God was no longer as it had been originally. And though they were not righteous or holy enough to enter into heaven, yet they had that form of relationship, but it was no longer the same. Now it had been contaminated by the devil. And then verse 10 says, of Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So this man, Adam, became a father of all humanity. This man who is hiding himself from God became a father of all humanity, which means every human being is born hidden from God. You have got to find the gospel. The gospel has to find you so that you can have that relationship with God again, because you are born from a parent who hid himself from God. And that, my friend, is the death type 1. He says, I hid myself from God. So when Jesus Jesus came to this earth, says, for as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, just like Adam did hid himself from God, he himself, Jesus, likewise took part of the same. He also took the same body which Adam had and hid himself from God, that through death, that is the death of Jesus, he might destroy him, which is the devil, that is the power of death, which means the power to separate human being, human spirits from the presence of God. This is what Jesus came to reverse. This is what Jesus came to reverse. And this is called death type one. That separation from God, because we are born of a father who actually separated us from the presence of God. And because of that, every human being is born spiritually dead, because our first parent, Adam, died spiritually, and therefore he is given birth to a human beings whose spirits are born hidden from God, separated from God, which is why Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. So that is death type one. And before we talk about death type two, let's talk about death type three, which is the first death, which is what Adam gave all humanity, is followed by death type three. And death type three is the mortal clinical death, which can be certified by the doctors. And in Genesis chapter 3 on verse 19, he says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return. So dust thou art. The body of human beings were created from dust, and he says to dust you shall return, which means the human body is going to grow old and pass away from this earth. And that, my friend, is the death type three. And that death is, everybody's getting old. You look, your hair is getting white, you're losing your teeth, you are no longer the same as you were before, you are no longer that young, and aches and pains everywhere. That, my friend, is eventually going to lead to death type three, which is the biological clinical death. And the second death, now to talk about the second death. The second death does not happen on this earth. There is nobody in this world who has ever gone through the second death. Even from Adam himself until now, nobody has yet died the second death. The second death is yet to affect anybody. Nobody has ever been affected of it. Because the second death is that death which happens on the day of judgment, when the whole world is ended, when the human spirits of those who died without the saving salvation of the Holy Spirit of Christ will be thrown in the lake of fire, which means eternal condemnation. In other words, the spirits of people who lived on this earth and never experienced the first resurrection, which is the being born again from the death of Adam, and they died. These people died whilst still dead in the death of Adam. Such spirits of those kind of people are of no use in the kingdom of heaven, because in the kingdom of heaven, only living human spirits have got capacity to enter into that dimension. If a human spirit is dead spiritually, it is rejected and it is thrown in the bin and thrown in the cemetery, which is the lake of fire. And that is what describes the second death. You have got a bin in your house, right? And you recycle things, you have compost even, and you go to somewhere where you burn your rubbish and things like that. If your house is like that, how come do you think God does not have something like that? The second death is simply God taking things he no longer needs to cast them in the compost, to cast them in the bin, which is the lake of fire. And that is where spirits of human beings who die from this earth whilst they are still dead in the death of Adam are buried by God, because he has got no use for such people, for such human spirits, because they have perished. So What are we talking about, my friend? We are talking about without faith, it is impossible to please God. How do you please Him? You should know the procedure unto salvation, that there is the first death. You are dead in the death of Adam. And you are born dead in the death of Adam. And there is a procedure in which you need to be resurrected from that death of Adam so that you become alive unto God. And if you don't become alive unto God whilst you are still conscious on this earth and walking on your two feet, then you are a candidate to be thrown away in the lake of fire. If death type 3, which is the biological death, happens whilst you are still dead in the first death of Adam, which means from the time when you were born, whatever your birthday is, and to the time you pass away from this earth, you never interjected, you never intervened in that death process which Adam gave you. It was never that death was never stopped, which means it continued in your life until you die away from this earth. Then obviously, as far as God is concerned, you are deemed to have perished. He has got no use for you. Even tires, which cost a lot of money, when that tire blows out and is destroyed in a road incident or something, that tire can no longer be used on that car. It is thrown out and bent for rubber or recycled into tar or something else. And so if human beings do such things, how then can you say, you say God is a God of love, how can He send all these people to hell? Well, He is no use of them. If you've got a truckload full of apples or tomatoes and they all rot away and become moldy and stinking, what do you do? If you see the farmer throwing away that truckload of tomatoes or pumpkins or apples or some cabbages or something, and you say, how can this farmer, he says he's full of love for his crops, how come he's throwing away all these rotten cabbages? Well, that is the procedure of life. The rotten things and dead things cannot live with the living things. They got to be separated. And this is what it is, my friend. And this is what the gospel is about. That's why the gospel is called the good news. It's called the good news because we are born dead and rotten spiritually before God. And it is the good news because for God so loved the world that He gave His only resurrected Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in Him should not continue to be rotting away in the death of Adam, should not continue to be dead in the death of Adam, should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what it means. That's why it is good news, my friend. That is why it is good news. So when the scripture says in Hebrews 11, he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, it's actually saying, you do, when you come to God, do you come knowing that you are dead in the death of Adam? As far as God is concerned, you are stinking, you are rotten, you are moldy, you are full of maggots, and unto God you are wretched and wicked, and to God you are a stinking foul smell. And the good news is, there is an antidote to that death. The antidote is the resurrection of Jesus. He that comes to God, which is Jesus Christ, must believe that He is what He is, the resurrected Savior. And He can give life to your dead human spirit so that before you die away from this earth, you can be rescued from the death of Adam and given the life of Jesus Christ so that you can enter and qualify to enter into the life dimension of heaven. The heavenly life, the heavenly dimension of life in heaven is run by the Prince of Life Himself. Jesus Christ has become the life-giving Spirit, and He gives you life so that you can enter into heaven. And that heaven, my friend, has got nothing to do with a theological degree. I hear there's some countries saying if you don't have a theological degree, you can't run a church. Foolishness. Foolishness at its most. Because the kingdom of heaven is about life. Is about the life which Jesus gives. It has got nothing to do with theological degrees and things like that. Yes, we agree there is rottenness in the so-called Christian world because there are thieves there pretending to be saviors when they're actually demons or from hell trying to deceive people to enter into hell. But what we are saying, my friend, is that God of heaven has given His gospel as simple as it is, that when you believe it correctly, that is, and you are not mixing it with the contamination of the Old Testament laws of Moses. So, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you are tithing, if you are paying 10% of your income and you call that faith, you are deceived and you are a liar. And you are not going to go into heaven because you don't have the resurrection life of Christ. Because the resurrection life of Christ is not for those still bound in the laws of Moses. No, it is for those who've been resurrected in the life of Jesus Christ, the resurrected God. So if you are still tithing, paying financial first fruit, and you've got spiritual fathers, and you've got all these things which you follow from the laws of Moses, then you are doomed, my friend. If you die in that manner, you're still in that state, then you don't have anything to look forward to except the fearful expectation of judgment. Because the resurrection life, my friend, is the only life that can rescue you from condemnation of hell. And do you have it? Do you have it?
And we're going to go to another song. And again, it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us the words of Jesus, the question which Jesus did ask when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And it's a question which you also need to answer in your life, my friend.
Question we are asking is, are you pleasing God? Because the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So are you pleasing God? And you say, how do I please God? How do I know if I am pleasing God? Is it left to me to judge if I am pleasing God? And if that is the case, then everybody can have their own standard. They say, we are Roman Catholics, we are Jehovah's Witnesses, we are Mormons, we are whatever, Scientologists and Anglicans and Methodists and whatever is out there. And Orthodox and you name it, and you find all variations of people who claim to belong to God. Now, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you say, how do I know if I'm pleasing God? What measurement do I use? And what kind of faith should I have so that I can know that I'm pleasing Him? Well, the scripture says in Romans chapter 8 on verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Right? Now, people say, right, I believe I've got the Spirit of Christ because I speak in tongues. And some say, oh, well, there is nothing like the Spirit, and all these are gimmicks and things like that. And as long as the Father has blessed me and I've made a confession of my sin and I've eaten the Eucharist, I'm okay. And others say, well, I was sprinkled with water when I was a little baby, so I believe I'm okay. And others say, well, I've got a church uniform and I was confirmed. And others say, well, I went to Bible school and I've got a diploma in theology. And others say, I've got a spiritual father. And others say, but I pay my tithe. And others say, I go to church every Sunday. I volunteer. I give money to the poor. I wash the saints' feet. And I do this and I do that. And all these performance-based performances and reports come your way. And they say, how then do I know if I have faith to please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How do I know which faith I should have? There are so many different types of faith out there. Okay. No, it doesn't work like that, my friend. It doesn't work like that. The procedure is, you got to know about these four types of death we are talking about. That's the first port of call. Do you know them? And do you know how they operate in people's lives? And do you know whether you have gone through the procedure which will allow you to have get the grace from the Spirit of Christ so that you are raised from that death? Because without fail, every human being on this earth would have to go through three of these four deaths. And if you don't go through any of those three, the correct type of three, there is the wrong type of combination of three, and there is the correct type combination of three. So there is three types of death which every human being goes through. So let's look at them. The first type of death is, we are all born into it. We spoke about it earlier, where we say that everybody is born dead in the death of Adam. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So in Adam, we all die. We know that. Genesis chapter 3 speaks about it extensively. And we know Romans chapter 5 from verse 12, it speaks of the same thing. That as in Adam, we all died in Adam, but in Christ, we shall be made alive. So the first death happens in Adam. Adam is the only one who died the first death. And because he died the first death, he gave that death to every human being who is born on the earth, because we are not created at this time. We are not created. We are born in the image of Adam. We are born from Adam. We are not created of God, because God only created Adam and then gave the responsibility of procreation to Adam, so that Adam can be the one who then allows propagation of humanity to continue on the earth, so that God doesn't have to come to the earth and create another human again and create another human again and create another human again day after day. No, he gave that responsibility to mankind, so that he created Adam as a man with seed within himself, and the wife as a woman with an egg within herself. And when the two meet, the seed in Adam and the egg in the wife, a human being is produced. So we are born in Adam. We are not created. And because we descend from Adam, we are born with that death which Adam has, because he died before he gave birth to humanity, and we all die in him. And so everybody is born with that death. You cannot escape it. It's already in you. It's too late to try to do anything about it now. So that's death. So everybody has got that death. Then the second type of death, well, the other type of death is the death type 3, which is the biological death. So we are looking at the three types of death which everyone should die. So everybody is born spiritually dead in the death of Adam. That everybody has got that death. And then everybody dies away from this earth, which is why today there is not even a single human being who is 125 or 130 years old. There is nobody on this earth who is 130 years old. Everybody is dead by the time they reach probably 115, maybe 120 at most. But everybody is dead. Nobody's 200 years old today. What happened to all those people? The beautiful, the handsome, the strong, the weak of 500 years ago. Where are they? Everybody's dead. And 200 years from now, we are all going to be dead. So everybody dies in we are born dead in Adam, and we die the biological death. So those are the two types of death which everybody dies. Now, this third type of death is the crucial one now, which affects your destiny as far as when you leave this earth. Where are you headed? Where do you go when you die away from this earth, when your body grows old and your body can no longer sustain your human spirit, and you die? Either you die through an accident, you die through sickness, you die through maybe somebody killing you. Whatever happens, everybody is going to die, and there's gonna be a story to tell according to how each one of us is going to die. So this third type of death now is the most crucial one, because everybody has got to die three. So the first two are similar to everyone, but the third one, thus some people die, their third type of death is different from the other one's third type of death. So the death type four, death type 4 only happens by the grace of God, and it is also called the first resurrection. So death type 4, my friend, death type 4 is the deciding factor. Death type 4 happens at salvation. The born again phenomenon reverses what happened in the Garden of Eden. The human spirit of Adam died to God, as far as the spiritual relationship was concerned, died to God, but his human body became alive to the devil. You see, the human spirit and the human body cannot be alive at the same time, because there is only one PowerPoint in which to relate to. So either a person is spiritually alive to God and dead to sin, which is the sin, which is the power of the devil, or a person is bodily and carnally and fleshly alive to sin, which is the spiritual evil domain of this world. And if you are alive to that, then you are dead to God, the God of heaven. You cannot be alive in your spirit and alive in your flesh at the same time. There is only one power point where either you are plugged into the devil or you are plugged into God. Either way, you can only have one power source. Yeah, only one power source. They cannot be both alive at the same time, because God is so made it that it's only a serial connector. There is, you cannot put two cords. There is only one which can be connected at the same time. So the first Adam, the first man, brought death to the spirit of man, and he, as a result, he perverted life across all human bodies on the earth, because he placed himself under the doctrine of the Antichrist, the devil, by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was otherwise known as the tree of death. And when he ate from the tree of death, it means that the life, being alive unto God, was no longer anything to talk about, because Adam had been separated from God spiritually. And now when God wanted to talk to Adam, he now had to go on via the channel of the flesh in order to try and reach Adam's spirit. But obviously that doesn't happen, for flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. So the spiritually dead man Adam gave birth to spiritually dead humanity, and that is you and me. Just as the first Adam died, so too the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, died on the cross, but he did not remain dead. He again rose from the dead. He rose again from the dead, never to die again or on the third day. Yeah. And the resurrection life of Christ reverses the death which all human beings are born with, by removing the death of Adam and replacing it with his own resurrection life, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, which raised him from the dead, as we read from the book of Romans chapter 1 on verse 4, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And because he rose again from the dead, he has got that capacity now to resurrect your spirit man from the death of Adam whilst you are still here on this earth, so that when the time comes for you to die away biologically from this earth, your spirit man will be alive to God and not dead to God, but alive to God, so that you qualify to enter into paradise. Paradise is only for those people, well, for only those human spirits which are alive in the resurrection life of Christ Jesus. So those who say, I belong to this denomination, I belong to that denomination. If you don't know this format of what I'm talking about, if you don't know this procedure of what I'm talking about, then you are still dead in the death of Adam. So whether you've got a church uniform, you've got a gown, you've got a doctorate in theology, and you give your tithe, and you did your catechism, and you did your confirmation, and you wear your church uniform, whatever you do, as long as the procedure unto salvation we are narrating here, that you need to be resurrected from the death of Adam, and there is a procedure that you need the correct doctrine of Jesus Christ in order for you to be risen from the death of Adam. You cannot talk about tithing and say, by tithing I'm resurrected from the death of Adam. That is the wrong formula, is the wrong medicine, is the wrong scriptures, is the wrong format, is the wrong procedure unto salvation. That will not save you. If you say, I've got a reverend, I've got a bishop, I've got my Eucharist and blah blah blah, those are wrong formats and wrong doctrine. They will not resurrect your life, your spiritual life, from the death of Adam. It is only through the correct doctrine of knowing the identity, the mission, and the difference between the Jesus born in the Old Testament and the Jesus Christ who became the progenitor and the founder of the New Testament. If you don't know the difference between those two and how that applies unto your life, that Jesus, before he died on that cross, he was simply the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And it was only by the resurrection from the dead that he became the begotten Son of God, that he became the first begotten from the dead, so that by him all who believe unto God, yeah, should not suffer the second death in the lake of fire. So, my friend, the thing is, are you pleasing God? Because you may be so dedicated and going to church and doing whatever you're doing, but are you pleasing God? Because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you say, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the substance is the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection power which raised Jesus from the dead. And for after the 3 days and the three nights, and there are some who are still arguing, how do you get the 3 days and the three nights if you count from Friday? There is no three nights there, so Jesus did not rise from the dead. Well, we have no time for you at this particular time, but the truth and the reality of it is that the substance of things hoped for is the resurrection of Jesus, who rose again from the dead on the third day. And that is the substance of things hoped for. The thing we are hoping for, my friend, is to enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb, is to enter into paradise, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, is to enter into heaven itself when we come to the end of our lives. And that, my friend, is the substance of the things we are hoping for. And Jesus Christ himself is our hope. He is the hope, because he's the only one who defeated death and hell and the grave and came back to life. He says, yeah, I am he who was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of hell and of death. That's Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. So because Jesus did all things, these things, he is our hope. And is the substance of our things which we hope for. And because he rose again from the dead, we can be sure that we can live our lives in victory. Because the scripture says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live there any longer? How can you continue sinning? How can you continue stealing? How can you continue blaspheming and living your life according to the flesh, as if Jesus has not risen again from the dead? How can you continue to live like that? Listen, my friend. There is a high chance, as I speak to you now, that you are not pleasing God. Because the way you are living your life, you cannot say it reaches the standard of the resurrected Savior. You cannot say that it follows here. Romans chapter 6 on verse 3 says, no, you know that for as many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. Baptized where? Into his death. What does that mean, baptized into his death? You thought, baptism, just sprinkling with water on the forehead. I was confirmed when I was a baby, and the priest just put some water on my forehead, and I'm baptized now. And some say, oh, well, I was baptized three times in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I'm baptized now. My friend, there is more to this thing than meets the eye. What the Bible says and what it means, usually and most of the time, they are two different things. So, baptized unto his death doesn't mean that you are just dunked in water and became wet, and that's it. And your clothes needed drying after that, and that's it. And you continue to live your life as if nothing has changed. No, baptized into his death means, my friend, your value systems, your spiritual value systems are so now so ingrained and embedded to the knowledge of the resurrection of Christ and its true gospel that your very exchange rate, your very value system of life is affected in every word you speak, in every thought you think, in every way you behave yourself is affected by the resurrection power of Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit, who then indwells you if you have been taught correctly in the true gospel and baptized correctly in the correct baptism and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there are many, many people out there who speak in tongues today, who speak in prolific tongues today, multiple kinds of tongues today, who are actually speaking tongues of devils, because as long as you are paying tithe and you are paying financial first fruit and you got a spiritual father who is another human being, and then you're speaking in tongues and you claim that because you're speaking tongues you are saved and you've got the resurrection power of Christ in you, you are lying, my friend, because anybody who is of the true doctrine of Christ will not pay tithe, because tithe, my friend, is not of the New Testament. It is a legal requirement of the law of Moses, which means you are still under the condemnation of the law of Moses. So even though you're speaking in tongues today, your tongues are tongues of the devil. They are fake tongues and you are not saved. And if you will not find the true gospel, if the grace of God doesn't find you to help you find the true gospel, then, my friend, you are headed for hell. There is no resurrection from the dead for you, and you are not pleasing God. I can tell you that now so confidently. You can be angry and you can be annoyed as much as you want. It doesn't change what the truth says. The truth says they which are in the flesh cannot please God. And if you are tithing, you are in the flesh, so you cannot please God. That's what the scripture says. So the scripture goes on to say that knowing this, that our old man, which is the old nature in Adam, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Yeah, the body of sin is destroyed, but you are still doing things according to the flesh. So how is your body of sin destroyed? And say that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no longer have dominion over him. For the death he died for unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon also yourself to be dead unto sin, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the last thereof. You see, when you are living this life at this standard, then what you have done is you have experienced the fourth type of death, where you died unto sin and you are now alive unto God. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its life. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. You see, this is death type 4. You are dead unto sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. You are dead unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, this is the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. You died to the sin of Adam. You died to the death of Adam, but you are now alive to unto Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is the fourth type of death, you see. So if you are dead in death type 1, we are all born dead in it, and then you die death type 2, death type 3, whilst you're still dead in the death of Adam, then you, which means you have not experienced death type 4, which is being dying to Adam and being alive to Christ, you see. So it means those three type of the, for the people who are going to enter into heaven, the people who are going to enter into paradise, the people who are going to form the to be part of the bride of Christ, people who are going to enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb, into eternity in heaven. Those are the people who are born dead in the death of Adam, but they reverse the death of Adam by being resurrected to the life of Christ, according to Romans chapter 6 verse 11, that we are alive to Christ our Lord. So, which is death type 4. Death type 4 kills the body and makes the spirit alive unto God. So, everybody goes through death type 1 and you die the biological death, which is death type 3, and then if you have died the death type 4, which kills your body but makes your spirit alive, then you are indeed a citizen of heaven. You are indeed a kingdom person who is headed for paradise, who is headed for the eternity in heaven and the marriage feast of the Lamb. But if you are part of those people who are born dead in the death of Adam, which everybody is born dead in the death of Adam, then you die the third biological death, which is your body being buried on the ground here on earth, and you have never experienced death type 4, which is dying to the desires of the flesh and being alive to the spiritual realities of the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ. If you have never gone through that, then it means you are going to suffer death type number 2, which is being thrown into the lake of fire, which is the spiritual cemetery, which the spirits of them who never experienced the fourth type of death are destined to go, because you would have perished. God has got no use for your human spirit. It is dead unto God, and it has got to be, it cannot be recycled again, but it can only be contained in the lake of fire, which is where the spiritual cemetery, the spiritual graveyard of the spirits which died dead in the death of Adam and never resurrected to the life of Christ whilst they were still on the earth before they died biologically. So, my friend, are you pleasing God? Are you pleasing God? The second death is real, my friend. You got to be afraid of it. Those who take part in the second death must also have taken and remained as part of the first death of Adam, because Romans chapter 20 say from verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no found a place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written therein according to their works. These are the dead, because they remained dead spiritually. They remained spiritually dead in the death of Adam, which by default all human beings are born in, but by the grace of God, salvation through the resurrection of Christ came to those who had the true gospel and responded to it. So all humans are naturally born in the first death. They take part in the third death, as everybody does, as the appointment with death must be kept, and every human body must die away from this earth. But those who believe the pathway of John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world should be saved. And those people who would have gone through that are the ones who don't experience the second death. And these are the ones who are pleasing God. So, my friend, the answer to the problem of death, because if you remain dead in the death of Adam, then you are not pleasing God. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45 says, so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made, which is the last Adam, which is the begotten son, the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ, was made a life-giving spirit. So if he is the life-giving spirit, it means he is reversing the death of Adam and replacing it with life. And this is what he wants to do for you, my friend. Will you receive him? Will you answer that call? Will you answer that call to come to Jesus? Because he was wanting to give you life, and life to the full, and life which is unto eternity. Jesus is the answer, my friend. Are you pleasing him? Are you pleasing him? Are you pleasing him? That's the most important question you're going to have to answer. And to please him, you've got to be alive in his life, in his resurrection life.
We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
On the air, on the internet, on your phone, and in your face, we are
Radio Africana.